Namaskar, this is Saurabh Jain and you are listening to my digital talk show. Super excited to host Dave Talas tonight. So first of all, welcome to my digital talk show, and on my show today I have David Talas, who is a doctor turned Instagrammer. In nutshell, he's an Instagram doctor. Well, that's a great one, isn't that? So Dave is going to share with us some interesting insights on how to grow Instagram followers, and I'm excited about this. If you guys are excited about having Dave on my show tonight, just type down in the chat and say excited. I'm just waiting for Dave to come live, and the moment Dave is here, I'm just going to send him a request, or maybe he just leaves a comment and I will send him a request. So I have a quick question for all of you, and the question is, how was your day today, and how the scenes at your workplace or at your home? Is the lockdown still on, or is it unlock 1.0 happening at your city, in your city? Let me just fix this. Alright, superb. So waiting for Dave to join us, and the moment he's here, I'll take him live and let me get started. So quick question, how do you really take forward boring? Someone just said boring. How do you generally take forward your Instagram account with respect to how do you grow it? So what is your strategy or the growth mantra to grow your Instagram followers? What do you do to grow your Instagram followers? Dave is here. Let's just say him a quick hello, and here we go. Hi, Dave.
Well, hello. Hey, hi. So good to be here. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, all perfect. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Perfect.
Awesome. What's the time there? 8:30 a.m.?
It's 5:30 p.m.
5:30
p.m.? So I'm like 3.5 hours behind India, something like that.
Super. Right? How are you doing, Dave?
Oh, I'm doing great. What about you?
Good, thank you. Dave, first of all, welcome to the show, and so happy to have you on the show today. And just a quick question. So we'll start this question, this session with this quick question. Why do you do?
Why I do it?
Why you do what you do?
Okay, this is interesting. The reason that I'm doing this every single day is I realize how powerful teaching is, and I love to teach, and I feel like that we need people in the digital marketing or online marketing world who are not just promoting themselves, but they are actually with the generous intent to help others. So that's why I'm here.
Fantastic. So Dave, what made you turn from a doctor to an Instagram doctor? What was the
difference? Okay, so it's interesting because...
So why do you... Yeah, go ahead. A lot of questions around it, yes.
Okay. So why did I turn? Basically, when I was going through medical school, I always had a passion towards space medicine. That's what I wanted to do, and I wanted to help humanity get to Mars and survive there by becoming a space doctor. But in Hungary, we don't even have a space program, so there were no real opportunities for me. And I realized that there are a lot of online space enthusiasts, so I just started creating content for them. I grew two different Instagram accounts around space exploration, and then other people started consulting me to help grow their business accounts. And I finished 4 years out of six in medical school, but I saw a lot of opportunity in entrepreneurship, and I really loved the responsibility and the freedom that comes with entrepreneurship. So after going through a mental breakdown, I decided that going through the regular path of getting a degree and then getting a job is just not for me. So that's why I kind of shifted.
Okay. And why did you pick Instagram only? Of all the platforms, what made you think or what made you pick Instagram to dissect?
Oh, it was just natural. I was just super addicted to it. That was the only platform I kind of knew how it worked, and that came the most natural to me to create things on.
Yeah, that's a trend of most of the social media marketers across the world. They are addicted to social mm-hmm. media, and they eventually become social media marketers.
Yes, I don't know about you or your people, and I'm actually curious. But I had some ups and downs with Instagram. I deleted my accounts and deleted the app multiple times because it's just super addictive, and I wanted to get free of it, and then I kind of find my balance. So did anything similar happen to you?
Absolutely. I didn't delete my account. So I tried to remove Instagram from my mobile phone for a few days. But it's so addictive that you just can't, you can't get over it so easily. So I get it back again. So yes. It's like I had multiple breakups with the same partner, and that's Instagram. So
yeah, it's like an ex okay. keep coming back, right?
yeah. So true. Okay. So Dave, like how Facebook killed organic reach of business pages, do you foresee that Facebook will also kill Instagram's organic reach with time?
Pardon, you got cut for a second. What I heard is how Facebook killed organic reach.
Yeah, so I'll repeat the question again. Like how Facebook killed organic reach, do you foresee that Instagram might also kill the organic reach with time? Or even if it's going to happen, how long will it take?
It's really difficult to predict such things, and based on the last few years that I'm seeing, it doesn't look like that the organic reach on Instagram is decreasing. The main goal of Instagram or any other social media platform is to get and keep creators. So I believe that what's happening right now is these various social media platforms are trying to adjust their organic reach and trying to make it they have to give the creators the most exposure for the creator's time investment. Because if they don't, then the creator will go to another platform like TikTok, which is really hot right now, or they will go on LinkedIn, where you can get a lot of organic reach. So there's a battle for creators now. We have the leverage.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, are you on TikTok as well?
Yes, I have 250 followers or something. I posted a few videos. I still need to get the hang of it.
Yeah, I have about 7,000 followers on TikTok.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, but I don't like that platform much, so I don't know
why not?
I don't know. I'm just getting used to it, so I'm not mm-hmm. too big fan of it yet. So yeah. I'm just getting there. It needs a lot. It needs a lot of drama. So okay. So that's a good one. I think it's completely unpredictable at this point of time on how IGTV is going to go forward with the organic reach.
Yeah.
So what's your take on the IGTV advertisements? Do you think this will become a big threat to platform like YouTube? And do you also foresee IGTV search too with time, like IGTV search bar? Do you foresee that with time?
No and yes. So let me explain. I don't think that IGTV will become a threat to YouTube. I think they will. First you asked me about Instagram or IGTV ads. I think that's a really amazing feature from Instagram to support the creators, because we don't get paid for the amount of exposure we generate for the platform. You only get paid if we have our own products or services and we monetize that. Whereas, you know, on YouTube, you get pays after the views. So I think that's a great feature for IGTV. It's like a great move from Instagram. But YouTube is just such a big platform. It's so powerful that I don't think that Instagram will be able to like take them down. I feel that they will live in some kind of synergy, where on YouTube you will share most of your, you know, like longer format content, and then on Instagram you will share shorter, like 1-3 minute pieces.
Fantastic.
And then you asked me about the search. Well, actually, I haven't heard of of the search for IGTV videos. So that's news to me. So thank you for.
No, that's not yet there. I'm just predicting that.
Okay.
So do you foresee that trend? Is what I'm asking.
I mean, that would be an amazing feature, for sure, to make the platform more searchable. Because I think the biggest difficulty, or like the biggest disadvantage of Instagram, is content lives very short, and after you publish something, like maybe it's like 3 or 4 months old, even if people they want to search for it, they really can't.
Right.
So I think, yeah, Instagram needs to get much, much better on search. So people from Instagram, if you're watching this, do something about it.
Right. So Dave, the next question to you is, what are some of the upcoming trends in the Instagram world that you foresee? What are some of the upcoming trends according to you?
I don't really believe in trends, I have to be honest. I'm usually looking at like what's working right now.
Right.
And I try to make that work the best.
Okay, so that's changing the question for you. What's working right now for you?
What's working right now is sharing all of your secrets and out-teaching your competition. If you can do that, it doesn't matter if you're doing it on carousels, IGTV, single image posts, whatever you do, if you can do that, if you can teach as much as you can and give openly and give generously without holding anything back and without putting anything behind a paywall where only a few people can get it, you are going to be able to build a huge audience regardless of even what platform you are on. So right now on Instagram, carousel posts are working great, but there are many, many ways you can mess up a post. So don't think of... if you make a carousel, then that's going to work great, because it won't. You need to put a lot of thinking behind it. And also IGTV videos, especially with these, if you can put them in different series, there's a great way to also structure knowledge. So I think those are like the two main things that are really working right now.
Fantastic. Okay. Dave, what are your top 3 tips to grow Instagram followers?
Oh my God. Top 3 tips. I'd say, first of all, like the most important one is to share your insights. Don't just share content. What I mean by that is an insight is something that that you personally came up with, and it's coming from your experiences and the knowledge that you get. And it's something that nobody else can share. Those are your own insights. And if you can share that, that's going to work much better than just sharing content that other people are sharing. So that's one. I hear a little bit of noise coming from your microphone. I don't know what's happening. Okay, it's stopped now. Okay, perfect.
Do you hear something from my head? Is it perfect? Cheers, okay.
No, it's a little bit.
Is it okay now?
Okay, whatever. Let's get... I don't know.
Okay. Is it okay now?
Yes, it's better now.
Hi. It's better. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So that's the first one is to share your insights. Share things that are unique to your experience in the world. So that's number one. Number two is to optimize your Instagram bio. That is really important. That's the first impression. Oh, now I hear wind.
Just give me a minute. I'll just switch on my air conditioner.
Okay, thank you.
Is it better now, or you still hear the wind?
I still hear it. People say in the chat that they hear some echo.
Okay, is this better? Okay, I'm so sorry. Something is
okay,
wrong.
No worries. No worries. Like right now, it sounds good, you know, in my ears.
Is this perfect now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sounds good right now. So, so where was I?
You were talking about, you gave a tip number one by sharing your ideas, knowledge, perspectives. That was your first step. And
yes.
You were, yeah.
And the second one is the Instagram bio. So what you need to do first before you do anything with your Instagram bio, and I see 270 people here. What I want you to do after you finish watching this live, go into your profile insights. If you have a business profile, go into your profile insights and look for the number profile visits in the last 7 days. Okay, so that will be a number from, you know, it can range, like it can be a big number, small number, whatever. For me, it's around 20,000-30,000. And then you would go into your audience insights and you would see how many new followers you got. And then you divide those two numbers. So you, let's say you got, just to make the math easy, you got 1,000 followers this week and you got 10,000 profile visits. So that means you will have a 10% conversion rate. Okay, so we establish a baseline first before we do anything. And then you check your bio. I think there are four things you need to have in your bio to make sure that it is the most attractive and it converts the best. First one is to have your story in there somehow. It's really difficult to say your life story in one sentence. I know. For me, the way I figured out my story is I wrote down my life story in like 10 sentences, and then I made like five really short sentences in from that paragraph, and I picked a few that I really liked. Formulas that work is like from X to Y, you know, from what to what, like what happened in your life. So that's number one. It's usually good to start with that. Stories are really powerful marketing tools, and they have been with us even before we had language. So stories are really important. Second line should be your positioning sentence. Who, what do you do and who do you do it for? Okay. Third sentence or third line is some kind of credibility. What kind of clients you work with? If you are in the make money online industry, then how much money have you made? Are you a millionaire, billionaire? Who are you? Maybe you are like Forbes 30 under 30. Maybe you had 300 students before. You worked with 100 international clients. Something that gives you credibility. You can also like make a list of 10 different things that give you credibility, and then you can pick the best one. And then the line number four will be the call to action, usually to drive people to your link. And once you have that, you change your bio and you keep measuring your conversion rates if they get better or worse. So let's say you don't change anything else, you keep posting the same type of content, you know, same, like maybe you post once a day or twice a day. But then you see from 10,000 profile visits, now you're getting 2,000 followers, which means you doubled your conversions. So that is important to make like a really good first impression. Also, other factors play important roles here, like the profile picture, your name, your feed itself, your story highlights, a lot of other things. But the bio is really important, in my opinion. And then I say the third one is partnerships. So this can be like this live that we are doing here. Both of us will benefit from it. My audience will check you out. Your audience will check me out, and then we both win. You can do guest posts. This is what I'm doing this week. I'm trying to share Black creators to help them get exposure to a bigger audience and to help them build their own lives and their own businesses, because I want to give them a voice.
That's a really good job, Dave. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. It's really my pleasure to be able to do this. So, and I'm getting so many requests. I really apologize to other people who I can't get back to in time. I try to pick the best posts and you know, the most valuable ones. So yeah, guest posts. You can. If you guys want to do it, you can DM Sorav, you can DM me, like, hey, I made this post. Just make sure that you don't make the other person work too much. So don't ask like, hey, can I make a guest post for you? Just make it. Just design the whole thing with the message and just send it, and then the person can decide if yes or no. Because for me, it's a lot of energy when someone messages me, and then I have to say yes, you can make a post, and then they just send me the message, like the text, And then, like, can I design it now? I mean, just make your post. If I don't share, then you can share it on your own account.
Wow, that's a good one. That's a great idea, actually. You either say yes or no, and if you say no, they can make use of the post.
Yeah, right. So usually what I do is if the post is, like, really close to a good one, then I give a little bit of a feedback, like maybe adjust this here, or there's too much text on this slide, or things like that. So then they adjust, and then they send it again. And then after, like, one or two reviews, it's usually pretty good.
So how many guest posts do you accept in a week?
I just started this right now. Before that, I only accepted two before this week. And now, this week, I'm posting only guest posts from other people. So I have posted three this week, and I will post two more on Saturday and Sunday. And my rule is I don't want to take more than two or three guest posts from a person. Wow. So, but I don't know how this will work out in the future. I've seen that it's I thought it will be super easy, that people are just going to send me posts and then I can share it. But I see that there's a lot more into it, like especially like the design feedback. So. I will see. This is just something that I'm trying to see if it works. So that's one. When you are making guest posts, don't make the host of the post, don't make them work so hard. Another way to collaborate is through shout outs, like paid shout outs. So you can pay a bigger account who is in your industry to share one of your posts. And then at the end of the post, they give you credit or they recommend you, like, great post from Sourav, and check him out for more digital marketing content. Wow. So if you like, you can put it in your marketing budget. This is like influencer marketing.
True.
So I think these types of collaborations. Yeah. Go ahead.
Wow. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Have you tried something like that? Have you tried shout outs?
Yeah, definitely. That's how I grew, especially in the beginning. People were like messaging, like, dude, how are you going? Are you growing like 1,000 followers a day when you were at like 2,000? I was like, I found a few good pages and I sent them carousel posts, you know, 10 super valuable slides. Last slide is just to check me out for more content. No pitch to sign up for any coaching or course or whatever, just giving value. And basically you're just paying for the exposure. And you will see, if you think about it, it's like on average, it's like 10 times as cheap as Facebook ads. So, guys, if you are interested in that, just jump on it.
Fantastic.
And I mean, there are a lot of, like, these niche accounts, especially, like, theme pages on Instagram. They are just usually reposting other people's content, infographics, things like that. Those are the best pages that you can go for, because these pages usually make a lot of money from these shout-outs. So this is one of their business model. You ask them, they will send you the list of, like, this is how much we charge for stories, post the link in the bio, and then you can pick what you want. You can also set them up for a long-term engagement, and then they shout you out regularly. It's a fantastic way of growing.
Super. This is amazing. So I think I'll open my account. I've never accepted guest post till date. The first guest post was promised by Chris. I'm waiting for his to come. So the Chris too, yeah. So I think I'll open my account on my Instagram, allowing people to post guest posts. Let's see, because it's also...
That's so generous.
Thank you. It's a great idea to actually accumulate content coming from different people. Different ideas start flowing in. Thank you for this beautiful idea. So
you're right. I just stole it from Chris, though, so no credits to me.
Yeah, sorry?
I just stole it from Chris, though, basically. He has been doing that for a really long time. And,
absolutely.
And I just wanted to try it, you know. Because I think it's a really generous thing to feature. And I got a guest post on his account, and in one day I grew 4,000 followers. It's like, amazing. Oh my God. Like,
That's how I got to know you.
Really?
Yeah.
You see? It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's a great idea.
I hear a lot of people asking how to get verified on Instagram. Can you answer that to them?
Good question. I get that every single time, so I'm going to skip that question now. Okay. Because I get this question every single time, how do you get Instagram verified? So I'll maybe just to quickly answer that question for everyone. Mm-hmm. One of the most important aspects is Instagram looks for your credibility, which means you need to have a lot of newspaper coverages about you, especially online mm-hmm. newspaper coverages. So the links which mm-hmm. mentions you shows you. So that's important. So at least 10 of these is important. So first, mm-hmm. work with PR companies to get some links about you. This is one of the most important criteria for verification itself. That's number one. Second, either you directly apply and keep messaging them, but it takes a lot of time. The third easiest way is that you should know somebody in Facebook. So if you know someone there, so if you know someone there, and it becomes all the more easier because mm-hmm. you've already submitted, you've got the credibility, but it just becomes easier to get the push going. So I think that's the way forward for anyone to get Instagram verification, because otherwise it's very difficult to actually get verified on Instagram. It's a challenge in itself.
I see. Beyond getting at this question like approximately 20 times a day, what other benefits does it give you?
I think it's just a great ego booster, I feel, that...
Okay.
So I think it's a great ego booster. Apart from that, I don't think there's any specific benefit that I get out of it. Like on Twitter, we at least have a separate... I have a verified Twitter account, and we have a separate verified tab. So anybody who's verified, and if I'm getting a tweet from them, I will have a separate mention for him, from him.
Also. I see.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm tweeting a celebrity or any politician in the country, it's easy for my tweet to be visible to him because mine mm-hmm. will be in a separate account for him. So of thousands and millions of people, my tweet is going to stand out for him. And that's why I'm able to actually connect with so many people on Twitter. But this is not the case on Instagram. So yeah. I think verification is just a great ego booster. It just makes you feel wow about yourself. But and people feel wow about you, that wow, you are an Instagram influencer or a celebrity. But in a nutshell, it just doesn't work, help in any other way. So that's
I see. It gives you social proof, right?
It just gives you social proof. It's one of the biggest social proof that, yeah, maybe, okay, it's a blue tick. So they take you more seriously. So that's just that. So it's easy for me to get so many people onto my Instagram live too because you just have a verified account. So it's I think it just makes a lot of difference that way.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. I'm sorry I flipped the interview. I was just curious, and I see like people asking it all the time.
This is first time I've been interviewed in my own interview, so
I apologize.
That's fun. It's fun. It's turned out into conversation, so that's the best part of it.
Yeah, it's great.
So Dave, what are some three key tricks, or not just three, or how many ever, one key trick that make Instagram algorithm work for you?
Instagram algorithm. Okay. I can tell you how the algorithm works, but then I want everybody listening here to make sure that you use that knowledge to make sure that you see both of us in your news feed or in your home feed. Ready? So the way the algorithm works is the algorithm exists on every user's level. It doesn't exist on the creator's level. So if you say the algorithm is treating me well or it's treating me not well as a creator, you're lying, you're wrong. Because what happens with the algorithm is that for every single account, there is artificial intelligence built into Instagram. And what they do is they measure how a certain person behaves with a certain post. So if I go on my home feed, I will double tap a post if I like it, right? And the more positive actions I do with a post, whether I like it, I comment on it, I share it or save it, those are positive actions. These have certain different weights that Instagram, first, they don't release it. Second, these weights are always changing. That is how the algorithm works. And the algorithm is it's always making a prediction when a person is scrolling through Instagram, the prediction it makes is what is the next account this person is going to interact with. Okay, so if they make the right prediction, so you see the post and then you interact with it, then Instagram basically it's like when you're giving a dog some food. Like Instagram learns it. Okay, I made some good job, so next time I know that this person is interested in this type of content. So after a while, for every account, there are, for my account, there are 10 or 15 accounts that I'm highly engaging with. And then Instagram will try to find accounts that are similar to those accounts and will push me those posts and test me again, like, will you use one? So this way you can basically teach the algorithm what kind of content to get from you. There are also negative actions that Instagram basically punishes. So for example, if someone reports your content, if someone says, on the top, like three dots, you can tap it and it opens up and it says not interested or see fewer posts like this. If somebody taps that, then that is a negative point on their end. So they don't want to engage with you more. And this is how they feed the content to you in chronological order. So based on who you engage with. So let me flip it to what can you do with it as a marketer, as a digital creator. What you should be doing is to make content that people engage with. So this is why educational content is super, super helpful, because once you teach something to somebody, you know, they achieve an aha moment, they will like it, they will share it, they will save it. And over time, you will pop up in their feed more and more, and you will stay in that loop. So that is how we can use this to make content that people always like, they always share, they save it, and it's just really valuable. So I think this is the Instagram algorithm crash course in 2020.
Lot of detailed insights. Some really good one. I think people are getting to learn a lot. If you guys are enjoying this session, is enjoying the show, just type down "Love you, Dave." Just type down and say "Love you, Dave."
Oh, I'm getting a lot of hearts.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
So, Dave, the next question to you is: what are your favorite Instagram tools and why?
Favorite Instagram tools: Keynote. That's okay. My number one. Keynote for Mac. That is how I design all of my posts.
So you, it's not an Instagram tool. You only use Keynote or use something else for designing?
Most, 99% of the time I use Keynote. Sometimes I have to make some kind of graphics in maybe Illustrator. And then there is an app. It's called SVG to Keynote. And what it does is it converts a vector file into Keynote, so you can edit it inside Keynote, so it becomes native to Keynote. But what I have is, right now I have shared around 150 posts or something, and then I also have some garbage. So right now I usually have, like, and you multiply that by 10, so that's 1,500. So right now I have around 2,000 slides in Keynote.
Wow.
And now just imagine what you can do with that. So I have 2,000 slides worth of knowledge, like educational content in Keynote. Now I can go and put them into, like a wide format, and I can present it to a live audience. I can make a course from it. I can start like a, YouTube video, and you can animate things inside Keynote. It's super easy to use. It doesn't let you obsess over the details of, it's not an overkill. It's like a really good presentation tool. So that's cool. What I use most of the time.
I've never used Keynote yet. I think last time Chris inspired me to use Keynote. This is the second time I'm turning it out. Start using. Today I'm going to get the Keynote going for myself.
Yeah, well guess who I learned this from?
I know, from Chris.
Yes. Okay, so that is one. And another tool for video editing, I use Premiere Pro. I like using professional tools. There's another one. It's Veed.io with a simple V. Veed.io. That is a good video editing tool. I know many people like Canva. The reason I don't like Canva and I haven't used it that much is the same thing that I love Keynote. It's not slide based. So if you are looking for like a free design tool, you can go with Google Slides. And build your decks inside Google Slides, set up a custom, slide size, so then you can build the material, so you can reuse it over and over again, apologize. Another great tool that I like to use is Flick. Flick is an all-in-one hashtag platform, but it's, I believe, much more than that. I use it now to do all of my analytics as well. So what Flick is great for is it helps you research your hashtags from scratch. So you can just literally type in a hashtag, and it shows you low, medium, and high competition hashtags. You can pick each and every one of them, and then you can make collections. So it's really easy to manage your hashtags. It's really easy to use them because you can just select all of the hashtag that you want to use. They also have like randomizer features, and then you can put it on your posts, and they track which hashtag you are showing up on. And I think that is the most important one, because then you can optimize your hashtags. So I saw my ADHD Flick picked it up. Somebody said that Flick is not a free tool. Yes, it's not. You can get a free 7-day trial, and after that it's like 10 to 20 bucks per month or something like that. So I think Flick is, especially if you are like doing this for a business, Flick is one of the best tools out there. And I think, and this is everything that I use for Instagram.
Fantastic. I use Flick as well, and it just does amazing job. It makes life easier.
Yeah. Much easier.
What is the ideal time to post on Instagram according to you? This is one common question that I get every other day.
Yeah, me too. First of all, obviously you should post, in my opinion, a little bit before everyone is active on your account. So usually you will see like, like a curve like this when people are online, and you should post like right before that curve hits. So when your post is out, and then more and more people are see it. But the Instagram feed is not chronological anymore, and Instagram doesn't prioritize early engagement on the post. So if you have a good post, you can post it at midnight, you can post it at 12, you can post it at 3. Based on what Instagram said about how this ranking system works, it shouldn't matter. Now, I still believe that it's good to post when people are online, especially to have a more engaged community. Then you can reply to comments as soon as you post it. So I think it's good to post when most people are online, but I don't think it's necessary, and I don't want this to hold people back from posting. So if you have a post, then just put it out there, because don't make up excuses that might or might not exist.
Super. Dave, amidst these three, Instagram stories, single post, and the carousel post, which is your favorite? I know the answer.
Say it again. Instagram stories?
Amidst these three, Instagram stories, single post, and carousel post, which one is your favorite of all?
Carousels, absolutely. Like, it's not even... I knew you knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to be honest. I like all three. Stories I like because they are very low quality, and usually the most engaged people, your most engaged fans, are the ones who are also watching your stories. So if you have a product, if you're selling something, the best place to sell it is on your stories, because people in your stories, you already have built a lot of credibility. They like you, they know you, they trust you, and that is how you can grow your business. So that's for stories. And the reason I like single image posts is, for some magical reason, they perform much better on hashtags. This is what I found. For carousels, it's much more difficult, or not difficult, like it's a more rare to show up on the hashtags and get a lot of exposure from hashtags. Whereas with single image posts, you can get more hashtags exposure.
I have noticed single image post has more traction than the carousel posts. Generally, I don't know why, algorithm wise, it has more value. Sometimes carousel is heavy, even when you're promoting it. The single one has a lot more reach than the carousel one. So I don't know why this is, but I don't know if this is true to you, or have you observed something like that as a pattern?
I observed the opposite, and I think this is because it's not about whether you are posting single image posts or carousel. Like, there is no better or worse. What's important is what you train your audience to expect from you. So if you have been doing single image posts all the time, then your single image posts are going to perform better than if you just switch to carousels, because then it's a new user experience that people are not used to. Same for me. If I share single image posts, sometimes it goes good, sometimes not so much. But with my carousels, I can they already expect carousels from me. So one day, a person when I shared a single image post, they said like, "Damn, David, now I just landed in my DMs," because you know they were already expecting to swipe, and then they just swiped into their direct messages.
That's my
take on that.
How do you manage DMs? I have seen on many chat they say automate your Instagram DM. Have you experienced something like that?
Automate? Like what do you mean by that?
Having a chatbot for Instagram DMs?
No, I don't have. I used to work I have worked with a person who was messaging my DMs, we took a little break now, and now I already have like 100 plus requests. So what we are doing is that his name is Mike, and what he was doing is whenever we got a message, then he would decide whether that's like a technical question, and then he answered it. If it was a request to work for me, then he put it in the primary folder. So we were really open about, yes, now this is Mike. So whenever I am, when you see nobody replying to, like nobody writing, like it's Mike, then it's me. But if Mike was messaging back, we always disclose. I wanted to be like 100% transparent on that. I felt like that people really liked it because, then they could get some kind of response from me, because I don't have time to handle 50 to 100 DMs every day. I get a lot of messages, and it's not that it's a problem, but it's still a one-on-one interaction. So as an entrepreneur, I try to do things that are scalable, and I try to use technology to do my best, you know, to be able to teach other people. But that is how we manage my messages.
Fantastic. So you have a manager for managing your DMs.
Yes.
Fantastic. What are your beliefs about Instagram posts leading to anxiety?
For the creator or the consumer?
Consumer, obviously.
Okay. Because for the creator, it can create a lot of anxiety too.
Yeah.
For the consumer. Yeah.
I think creators and consumers both.
Okay. Let's start with the consumer. I think mental health is an increasing topic, like a more and more hotly discussed topic right now, because we are experiencing more and more mental health issues than ever before. Our brains are not used to being exposed to so much content or so much visual stimulus, so we can immediately get hooked into these things, and because it messes up our brain and our dopamine system, it can definitely increase anxiety. The way this works on the neurological level is all kinds of addictions, for example, social media addiction, they weaken the frontal cortex, the frontal lobe. And that the frontal lobe is the pilot for your brain. So if your frontal lobe is underworking, then the amygdala, which is the emotional center, is going to feel more powerful. And you experience anxiety all the time. Like for example, if you weren't anxious before an exam, for example, or before a big presentation, then it means that you don't even care about it. What we need to do is to just turn it down a little bit so it's healthy. And so this is like the neurological level. The other part, which is difficult now, is everybody, or this is like a saying that everybody is sharing their highlight reels. So the way I try to combat that and the way I try to not add to other people's anxieties, I don't want to paint a beautiful picture about myself. I'm not posting things about how cool my life is or you know, sometimes I do, but I try to keep it like moderate. And I feel like the reason that people follow me is because I teach them something valuable. And that is, I think, the best content strategy out there. And this is how we can reduce the anxiety in the people that we actually care about, right? On the other hand, I try to share more and more of my down moments on my stories, so the people who are most interested in learning from me, then they can understand or see that I'm actually just a human person and I'm not perfect just like they are. So that also decreases the anxiety.
Fantastic. As a doctor, what's been your specialization? I'm very curious to know now. Was neurology your specialization?
Oh no, I haven't finished school, so I'm not a medical doctor per se.
Okay. Okay.
I just used it in my I call myself the Instagram doctor because other people started calling me that. People I consulted, and they said like, oh my god, this is like a doctor's checkup or something. Like maybe this is. So they started calling me Instagram doctor, and I think that's it has a good ring to it.
Cool.
So now I'm using it.
It sounds cool too. Okay. So what's your favorite hashtag of all that you've been using by far?
I don't know. I use all kinds of hashtags. Do you want me to check? I will check it for you. Just keep ask the next question, and I load a flick in the background. I'll tell you my best hashtag. My favorite one.
So do you spend to grow your Instagram followers, or what has been your trick for organic success? Have you spent something to grow your Instagram?
Oh, no, I haven't. The main way that I grow my Instagram following was shout outs, as I said. So paid shout outs for a few accounts. I only used it in the beginning to get to around 10,000 followers. So until I got to 10,000, I spent $250. I purchased 6 shout outs, and in total I grew 5,000 followers. So almost 1,000 followers per each shout out.
Wow.
So that was a really good deal. Right now I'm not doing that anymore, and I was thinking maybe I should get back to it, but now I'm having enough organic growth, and I was focusing on building my business and working on building better products. So my biggest issue right now is not my Instagram growth. So when that will be the problem, when everything is working on the back end and I need more exposure, then I will get back to the growth strategies. And the second is, you know, hashtags. With hashtags, you can show up. So that is the organic, one of the organic parts. And then obviously just teaching and making content that's highly shareable. So people can learn from you. And that's just, I think that's like the ultimate, that's like the best way to build a content strategy.
But I have a question right now. And the question is there any platform where people can purchase shout outs?
I think there are. I just like messaging accounts one on one.
Yeah.
Super.
Yes. That's a smart idea, actually.
May I ask, why do you say that?
What is a smart idea? DMing?
Yeah. So why do you think it's a smart idea? Because in my mind, that says that the other idea is not so smart.
No, I think it's a lot better because you can negotiate here and you can pick what kind of platforms, because not many people even know that they can give you shout outs. So, you know, it's a great idea to pitch them and tell them that, you know, you can negotiate at a very smaller price, because if you go to platforms, the platform takes their own commission. And sometimes they give so many shout outs that their shout outs has no value. So, so I think that's why it's a very smart strategy, I'm saying. That you're creating your own set of shout out ecosystem is a great idea than going to the already built ecosystems, because then they're so highly commercialized that nobody values them anymore.
Yeah. And your network is your net worth. That's what they say. So you are building business relationships there, and who knows when that's going to be helpful.
Absolutely. I totally agree to what you've just said.
Okay, I loaded up my hashtags.
Yeah,
you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So it looks like my favorite hashtag is hashtag SMMA, which is social media, short for social media marketing agency. I used it 57 times on my posts since I started tracking them with Flick. So 57 times. I ranked on it 9 times, which means that my rank ratio is 16%. And in terms of the most ranked post or most ranked hashtag, there's another one, marketing 101 or 101, so 101. And I ranked there 9 times as well out of 54 posts. So these are my two favorite hashtags.
Awesome, awesome. Really, really cool insights. That's a really good one. So SMMA is your favorite of all.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not like a personal favorite. It's just something that I use the most, obviously.
Yeah, we subconsciously, we just don't know that it just comes there.
Yes.
Okay. So I kept this question for the last because a lot of people kept asking hashtag and hashtag and hashtag. So okay. What's your opinion on hashtag? And how to make best?
Okay. My opinion is that hashtags are one of the most important parts of to your Instagram growth strategy. These are one of the distribution tools. So in order to win on Instagram, you need great content and you need great distribution. So hashtags are the distribution part. In terms of how to use them, I recommend to always go with 30 hashtags to make sure that you can maximize your chances of showing up on any hashtag and to get more exposure to your account. And let me put it this way. So usually you have to pick your hashtags based on how many people see your post and based on what kind of engagement you get. Right. But for starters who are just starting out or someone who has never worked anything with hashtags, what I recommend is to use 20 small and 10 medium hashtags. This is really easy to do because small hashtags is what I say anything that's under 300,000 or 300,000 posts. So when you load up a hashtag, it shows you how many posts it was used on. So small is 300,000 hashtags. And then medium is anything between 300,000 and 1 million. So use 20 small and then 10 medium. So 20 small with less than 300,000 and then 10 between 300,000 and a million posts. So this is... this is just a rule of thumb. So I'm not saying that these numbers are battle tested and they work every single time, but they worked well for me and worked well for many of my students. So just start there. This is a very low effort, like the Pareto principle. Like you do 20% of the work to get 80% of the results. And after you figure out that, oh my God, I need to work on my hashtags. What you do is you just open up Flick, put in all of your hashtags and just let it analyze for you. And then you just pick the best hashtags to reuse over and over and over again.
Super. Thank you for this.
You're very welcome.
Dave, how old are you, by the way?
Pardon?
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Just 23 and you're doing really good for yourself. Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Are you tired?
Tired? No, I'm excited.
Awesome.
Fired up.
Okay. So then I'll shoot two more questions to you. What is one of the best ways to get a lot more viewership for Instagram stories?
Okay, perfect. For Instagram stories, you can use hashtags. I haven't tested them so much. Obviously, they work really well if you have like a beautiful body and you wear bikinis. I don't. So for me, it's like showing up on the Explore feed with stories is a little bit of a mystery. But what I figured out is if you are in my head, increasing story views is because I want to increase visibility to something that I'm doing. So if you are promoting, like, let's say you are launching your email list or you're launching a course or you want to get some more clients for your coaching or whatever service that you provide, what I recommend is to skip one day of posting on your stories. And then on the next day, you would post the promo story that you want to share as the first story. And then you would share a lot of stories afterwards, like one story every 1 or 2 hours. And what will happen is if you are, let's say you're posting like 5 stories every single day and you're averaging 1,000 or 2,000, let's go with 1,000. You're averaging 1,000 story views. And then you do this, like you skip a day and then you post your promotional story and then a lot of stories after that. Your first story that is the promotion is probably going to get at least 50% more views for me, sometimes I get like a 250% increase. I average around 3,000 story views if I'm posting all the time. But when I do this trick or I just accidentally skip a day, I go to 5,000 or 6,000 even. So this is one of the life hacks, if you wish, right, to boost your story views without doing any kind of, what you have to do is just don't post anything for a day, right? I think it's something that everybody can do.
So yeah, well, amazing. So one of the hacks which I have for stories, I've seen that particular kind of story generally gets a lot of views, is basically when you take your photo or when you click a photo, ensuring that you just half of the screen and you don't cover the entire screen of yours, and you use three different fonts with different highlights color in the background. So for example, red, green, yellow with your content. And you post it. So generally it looks like it's like a magazine cover, because in the circle, it makes people curious to see where is this guy featured. So they're more likely to click to see, is this a magazine cover or what is it all about? So generally that, I have tested every single time I do this, where my face is just half the screen on the top. There is a lot of colorful font. I generally see that story gets a lot of clicks. So that is some variation of how stories work for me. But I love the tricks that you've shared. And I've also seen that people generally don't give space between stories. Like they just keep posting. And then the last stories generally do not get as many views as it should get. Okay. Do you think that deleting some of your stories, which is not, like if you're posting some fresh story, if this is my way of doing it, if I'm posting a fresh story, I try to delete some old stories of mine so that my fresh story gets a lot of attention. Do you do something like that?
I didn't get the strategy. Can you repeat it?
So let's say I have posted a fresh story today and I had posted certain stories yesterday, but I want my fresh story to get a lot of attention. So do you delete? Have you ever deleted your old stories, like last three stories?
Oh, I see. I see what you... Yeah, so when you post a story, to delete the ones before it, so it's the first one. Yeah, right. Yeah, you can definitely do that. I just... I have to be honest, I just don't bother that much with it. But if it would be something that's, like, really important, like, let's say I'm promoting my business and then previously I just shared three other posts of something that's not that important, then yes, I haven't heard that it would maybe hurt the engagement of the new post or the new story. So yeah, that's a little underground strategy, but I like it.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, last question for you, Dave. How important it is to define a purpose in life, and how does it have a strong connection with your Instagram personal branding?
It is the most important one. If you don't have something that kicks you out of bed every single morning, then after you hit a few of the surface goals, you are going to be left empty. And on Instagram, it's really easy to go after the number. Like, I want to have 10,000 followers. But after you do that, nothing changes. And if you don't have a really deep core desire in you, then it's not going to fuel you in the long term. And this is what we're doing as entrepreneurs. We need to, this is a career. Like, we need to think in 5, 10, 20 years, not just can I get to 10,000. So I think that is why having a purpose is really important. And a way to find your purpose is to either find something that you really love and just do that and help other people doing that, or find something that you really hate and then fight against that with your entire life.
Fantastic. Amazing answer, Dave. Love this session entirely. There's a lot to learn from you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here. Thank you a lot for just inviting me.
My pleasure, Dave.
With this note, I'll end up my podcast, and I hope you guys are following me on Instagram. Already, do not forget to subscribe to instagram.com/SaurabhJain and DM me there. Maybe you get lucky with the answers on my next podcast. Have a good day, guys. Goodbye.